Join me in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. I'll read this in just a few moments. But to remind you of the beginning of this chapter where the disciples were meeting with Jesus Christ after his exchange with the Pharisees, Jesus said to them, this is back in the early portion of chapter 24, "You see all these things, do you not?" pointing to the temple. "Truly I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Following that, the disciples asked two questions. We see this in verse 3. It says, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Two completely different yet related questions. I mentioned last week that this chapter is a challenge. Misunderstood, mishandled. The exegesis and the interpretation of it is as wide-ranging as any we would find in text and our use of it. And also, as I said last week, I do not claim to be an expert, but I do pray that the Lord would lead us through this. And in our interpretation, we must understand or should understand that the disciples were asking two different questions related. But first of all, tell us, when will these things happen? When will the destruction of the temple, of which Jesus was pointing to first, when will that happen? And then the second question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Two different issues. And so as we move through this chapter, last week we held the destruction of Jerusalem. We answered that first question, and now we're moving to the second question. What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? Now join me at verse 29 of chapter 24. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and the wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Lord add his blessing to the reading of His Word. Now, I will admit to you the first challenge that we encounter as we read verse 29 is the beginning phrase, immediately after the tribulation of those days. In interpreting these two questions that I've already brought to your attention, this statement of immediately, we must understand clearly, or as clearly as possible, what our Lord is saying here. When He says immediately, does He mean immediately following the events of which He has just spoken? Or does it mean that the event being referenced will happen with such a suddenness, with such an unexpected nature, that its immediacy is what our Lord is speaking of? Context provides guidance in coming to our answer. Look with me at verse 30. Then will appear in heaven the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with power and great glory. Then move to verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying, giving in marriage, and until Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware till the flood. Here we perceive that our Lord is speaking of the suddenness of time. That here we are looking toward the coming of the Son of Man. We are looking forward to the coming of the end of the age. So Jesus here from verse 28 to verse 29 has moved His reference from the temple and that destruction that took place in Jerusalem in AD 70, of which we spoke last week, to the coming end of the age. Immediately, without knowing the suddenness, the starkness, the shocking surprise of when our Lord comes is what He is referring to. And just exactly what will occur in those days. Fantastic language. Apocalyptic in nature, if you remember our discussion and study of Revelation some years back, that apocalyptic language is more symbolic with a message embedded than to be taken in its literal nature. And so when I read this text to you, yes, these things will be perceived as happening. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened. And the moon will not give its light. And the stars will fall from heaven. And the powers of heaven will be shaken. The sun darkened, the moon not giving its light, the stars falling. We see similar language in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. John writes, I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth. What our Lord is speaking of here is the manifestation and the fullness of His coming kingdom. Jesus taught throughout the book of Matthew that the kingdom of heaven is near. His coming brought the kingdom of heaven. But then when we see this second coming and our Lord Jesus coming across that eastern sky, we will see the fullest manifestation of His kingdom, the gathering of His church, and as we know it from our perspective, the created order will come under the influence of the complete kingdom of God. And this is what our disciples, our Lord's disciples were asking. What will be the sign of your coming? Verse 30 again. Will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The sign of the Son of Man, and tribes of earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Why will the tribes of earth mourn at His coming? Remember Paul's words? They're repeated in Romans. More succinctly in the book of Philippians, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, the tribes of earth have not done this. The worldliness, those who are consumed by the worldliness of our creation, they have not done this. And so when they see the sign of Son of Man coming in the eastern sky, do you think there will be gladness in their hearts? Hardly. Great fear will overwhelm them. At this point, it's too late. They mourn because they fear the wrath of God. Verse 31, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, contrast the actions of the elect. That great trumpet blast of where we've read of so many times in Scripture. And he will come to gather the elect. Throughout the 8th and 9th chapters of the book of Revelation, we hear time and time again the blasting of these seven trumpets, signaling the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, signaling His judgment. But here, as the Lord Jesus points out, there's one of those trumpet calls that will tell the angels that the Son of Man has come. The end of the age is here. Go and gather my church. This begs the question. There will be a group who mourns. There will be a group of great fear at the sounding of that trumpet, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be another group that will be of great joy, great gladness of the heart, that the book of the chapter of Revelation 21 finally comes to pass. And we see the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, all the tears, all the pain is gone away. Which and where will you be? Simple question. We now worship Jesus Christ by faith. There will be one day when our faith goes away, because we will see our Lord Jesus face to face, and faith will be no more. When will this be? When? The disciples asked, what will be the signs, and when will this be? Well, as we've come to know our Lord Jesus Christ, he turns to a parable to answer the question, the parable of the fig tree, and he doesn't answer the when. He typically answers the direct question to him. He doesn't answer the when, but he spoke again of the suddenness of his coming and the attention the believer should give to his coming and to the conduct of life we live in these last days. He speaks of the unknown time of his coming, but more importantly, the preparedness. Are you ready? Are you prepared? If it be the next moment, are you ready? Now, the parable of the fig tree, as I've said about this entire chapter, has brought confusion. There are those who interpret this particular verses 32 through 35 to be referring to the nation of Israel. Because, as I've said before, the fig tree in the Old Testament days, even today, I guess, is a symbol of Israel, the nation of Israel. So many think that Jesus is speaking about the return of Israel to their land by the blooming and blossoming of this tree as it entered into the time of summer. And many will point to 1948, when Israel was returned to their land and became that sovereign nation once again. And then with that, the predictions of time began to just roll out. Oh, he's coming in 1984. Remember that one? He's coming in 1997. Wow, missed that one. He was coming in 2003. Need to get the man a clock or a calendar. But predictions roll out. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. I know the signs of the end, and I read them perfectly. But see, that is not what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. He doesn't go to the when because He does not want us predicting. He does not want us to be consumed about the time other than being prepared. If it's the next moment, if it's next week, if it's next year, next decade, next millennium. Don't get caught up in the dates and times. It's irrelevant. Get caught up in the preparation. The point of our Lord's teaching here, while we have confused it and mangled it, it is actually rather simple. And it underscores the unknown. And there will be wars and rumors of war. Many will fall away and betray. Many false prophets will come. Lawlessness will increase. The love of many will grow cold, as we've read. However, our Lord's point is these things must happen. They should be the signal that, yes, the time is coming, but to promote readiness and preparedness. Not watching the clock. Verse 36. I don't know how anyone who would predict the time of the Lord Jesus coming could do so if they've read verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels, not even the Son. Jesus Christ Himself does not know the date and time that He is going to be given to come and gather His church. Only the Father. For as were in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming days of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Just as in the days of Noah, life as we know it will come to an end. Creation as we know it will come to an end. The new created order, the new heavens and the new earth will be given to us. And all of this will happen in the twinkling of an eye. As Matthew writes, two men working, one's gone. I love the bumper sticker. If you see this car unattended, the rapture has occurred. Two women working. One will be taken. One will be left. Therefore, verse 42 again. Stay awake. Stay awake. Remain faithful. Stay ready. Which is the undergirding of all this. I love the story. One old gentleman was told that he needed to get ready for the second coming of the Lord. He responded by saying, "I don't have to get ready if I stays ready." He said in about 12 words what our Lord Jesus has said in a chapter. Are we ready? Are we ready? If you'd like to, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, what are we to be doing in this readiness, in this preparedness? What are we to be about? Well, chapter 25 of Matthew that we will cover in the weeks when I return gives us more of that. But here, Peter writes a great deal about the coming day of the Lord. But here, just in these final words of chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse 14, he says, "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, the end of time, the coming of the day of the Lord, be diligent and be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all letters and when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand." Amen. Paul's hard to understand. "Which the ignorant and unstable twist into their own destruction as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to Him be glory both now and for all eternity. Remain steadfast. Stay in the Word. Be taught so you can recognize the coming, the false prophets, those who would cause us to stray. Jesus Christ said again, therefore you also must be ready for the Son of Man coming at an hour you do not expect. Yesterday, several of us attended a leadership meeting down at Crowder's Creek, and the first speaker, a gentleman many of you know well, John Kimmins, he told the story of growing up in church and not ever being asked the question, have you made your commitment to Jesus Christ? Have you made that personal profession, confession that Jesus Christ is your Lord? I thought to myself, with this sermon coming here, that I would dare. I did not want my congregation to have the story later in life that they were never asked, have you made that personal profession? I must confess to you that being raised in the Pentecostal church where an altar call was held every week and sometimes two or three times in a Sunday, I have reacted to that and been lesser at having what you might refer to as an altar call. And so my error may affect you, but I want that to change. I couldn't bear to think of any one of you who calls New Sterling home to be running and trying to find a place to hide if the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So I give it to you. Have you made that personal profession that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you've got all the things known that are to be known. Doesn't mean you can quote Scripture. Doesn't mean you can find the book of Habakkuk if you had to. But it does mean that you have recognized your need and recognized that you cannot save yourself and that there is nothing of this world that will provide you any level of salvation except for Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through and by me. The world would want you to think there are many ways to a peaceful, eternal existence. My friends, there is not. There is one. Let us pray. Father, you see the people here before you. Holy Spirit, you know the names of these that you have redeemed and called the children of God. But if there is one here today that cannot answer the question positively, yes, I have. And maybe today's the day. Those of you seated here, if you have a doubt, if you have not made that statement or question whether, let there be no doubt. Let there be no question in your mind. I have professed Jesus Christ as Lord. But if if you have not, I'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Lift your hand. The Lord knows who you are. The day and the hour for the Son of Man coming is an hour we do not expect. We will be living our lives as the previous day, and there will be the coming of the Son of Man. I pray we are ready, because what a glorious day indeed that will be. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.